Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
A good morning to Lindsay, Dave Schwann, Andy Mazur. How are we all doing this morning, everybody?
Good morning.
Doing well. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah,
nice. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, nice to have you with us, too. You know, I like that, you know, Don sends me a note when he's going to be off. Like I'm his dad, which I kind of like.
You know, I'm not going to be home.
Yeah, no, he's not going to be dad. I'm going to be going. I think his stepbrother is getting married. And so he's going out of town for a wedding. So,
okay.
You know. And our own Don Kleppen, as you know, is newly engaged.
Yes,
so
he is.
They're dropping like flies.
I was not informed.
Right, Don. Everybody.
I was not informed that he was in. Yeah, okay, I'll have to.
We weren't either. He kind of just sort of
surprised
us.
Yeah, he just kind of dropped it out of nowhere on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Don.
He's so modest. So
Donnie.
Anyway, that's very.
So
we're very happy for him. What's that?
Does anyone ever call him Donnie?
Let's do it and see what happens.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine named Deb who does not like being called Debbie.
It's and either so, Deb or Deborah.
Yeah, Deb or Deborah, yeah. Not Debbie. So every now and then, like if she says something that's, you know, like, oh, come on, Debbie, then you do that. And then
ooh,
you get a glare. It is not good. It is not good. No, not at all. So I'm not going to continue to go there because she's probably going to text me if she's awake. So, and if you're awake and you'd like any kind of help this morning, as Lindsay mentioned right at the top of the show, this show's all about you. We're not going to have tons of interviews today to get in the way of calls. I want to try and help as many people as possible. Oh my gosh, did it rain cats and dogs yesterday or what?
Mm-hmm.
I really think I saw some snow flurries also. Mm. Downtown here.
You know, I'll tell you what, there better be so many flowers in May because of the April showers.
Exactly.
That we got to cut them back with a machete. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I was sitting in the sports booth yesterday, and the lightning show down here was unbelievable.
Really?
Yes, it was.
Wow. It was not at the United Center.
No, there was no very little lightning.
Well, it was if you were a Bucks fan.
Well, there's a lot of thunder, yeah, from a herd of Bucks just kind of trampling over the Bulls.
Oh, it is fun. You know, it is fun. I don't know. The playoff basketball is, you know, kind of reminds me a little bit of March Madness, right?
Yeah.
There's all these games going on, and every game is, well, for the most part, you know, a lot of fun to watch.
Right.
You know, back and forth. But I don't know. The Bucks are good.
Yeah. I mean, you can see why they are the defending NBA champions. They lose one of their all-stars, and a former Bull just fills in and, you know, comes back to really bite his old team and Bobby Portis.
Yeah. Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Huh? There's always another game.
Do your best. Do your best. That's all we can do. Have some fun. So, anyway, we'll be talking with you gentlemen later this morning. Our phone number is 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. You know, yesterday, I was thinking about Earth Day and you know, kind of different changes that we can do. One of the things as somebody that owns a couple hardware stores, I get a lot of people that come in and are looking for alternatives to be, you know, more friendly to the environment. And in particular, I'm curious about, you know, lawn food and the kind of chemicals that are going on our lawns and in our gardens. And, you know, the whole concept of fertilizer has been in the news because of the conflict in Ukraine. I guess I never knew that Russia and or Ukraine were such big fertilizer suppliers, but it's having an effect. And we talked about that a few weeks ago with an expert that it shouldn't really affect us for this year, seeing how it's going. But I really think that, you know, thinking about going to alternatives that are not chemical-based just make a heck of a lot more sense for the environment. And there's a lot more of that coming into play. And one of the things that I, you know, think is an interesting thing is the evolution of the battery-operated lawn and garden tools. You know, we're hearing a lot about electric cars and how that's really, in the next few years, I think we're going to get flooded in the market with electric cars, and a lot of people are going to be going that route. I mean, my personal thing is my next car, whatever it is, waiting for that Chevy new Silverado, which is a couple years away, and or Cadillac has that Lyric, which I think is really nice, an electric car that's, I think, a year or two away. I'm going to buy an electric car. I'm definitely going to try and go that route because I think it could work. Part of it is right now they're so expensive, but hopefully the pricing will get to be more in line with where cars are now, you know, so that I think is the secret sauce. Well, when it comes to electric lawn and garden tools, it's kind of already there. You hear me talking on this show about the Toro, their 60-volt max program that they have. There's other, you know, Steel is a manufacturer of chainsaws. They have an electric line. There's a product line called Ego. There's a whole bunch. I mean, if you go to the big boxes, they have their own. And no matter what, you can certainly compare to find out what the best one is for you. But the argument about, well, you got to have a tiny little lawn. You can't cut your lawn with these units. They don't go long enough. Now, the battery technology and the length of time and the cutting that you get and the features that you get on these mowers, I mean, even Milwaukee Tool, you know, the company that makes power tools, the Milwaukee Power Tool Company, they have a whole line of electric, and they came out with, they're launching their own electric battery-operated lawnmower. You can cut for about an hour, and if you buy an extra battery, well, you can swap it out and keep going for 2 hours, and while you're cutting using the second battery, the first one's charging, then you can go for 3 hours. I mean, it's all going to go there. No gas, no oil, no fumes, no worrying about getting it started up. I just did a feature on WGN-TV about putting your snowblower to bed, you know, making sure if it's a gas-powered mower so it can start in the spring. You don't have to do any of that. And you know, there's even battery-operated snowblowers that are out there. So if you're in the market, I think you will be pleasantly surprised to find what's available. Price-wise, they're around the same amount. Some of them cost a little bit more, maybe a couple hundred dollars. So, I mean, it's not an insignificant amount of money. But when you think about, I don't have to buy any gas, I don't have to buy any oil, the maintenance on them is way, way less. It really makes a lot of sense. And, you know, kind of on the heels of what we just had with Earth Day, it's worth a look. Do a little Googling and see what you can find out there. And many of the home centers and the hardware stores have them in stock, even with supply chain issues, and they're ready to go, and I think you'll be pretty impressed with the performance that these units have. All right, 857-557-4LU, 857-557-4LU. It is 6:18 in the morning. Let's do this. We have our first caller coming up. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. All month long, we're going to be filling up my virtual candy jar. We've been so lucky. For many of you have been so generous by going to WGNradio.com/candy and already donating to my virtual page. I really do appreciate it. I set a goal for $10,000, and I just so grateful for those of you that have been so generous. If you'd like to donate, we also have a match coming from Townstone Financial, who will make a matching donation of up to $2,500, which is awesome. All the money raised helps Misericordia's programs for their over 600 children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. If you'd like to make a donation, as I mentioned, go to WGNradio.com/candy, and that page you'll see a link to donate. That's WGNradio.com/candy, and I really do appreciate your support in helping continue the mission of Misericordia. It's one of their biggest fundraisers that goes on during the year, and it's virtual. The whole thing is virtual. There won't be anybody on the streets collecting this year once again, sadly. We got to get out of this bad boy thing, but we're getting there. I'm staying positive, as we all should be. And again, thank you so much for your generosity. 857-557-4LU, 857-557-4568. Okay, lots of rain. I'm sure that many of you experienced a little flooding, some areas where maybe some water came in. The ground is pretty saturated now, and I know we're going to have a nice day and everybody's going to want to get out, but I would take the time, if you want to do a little of this yourself, to spend a little time in that sump pump area, if you're fortunate enough to have one, and go down and do a little maintenance there. Unplug those pumps. And if you have a backup pump or you have a main pump, unplug that pump, take the lid off if you have it, And it's a good idea to clean out that sump pump pit because there could be debris in there. And in a perfect world, depending on how handy you are, if you can disconnect that pump and take the pump out, there might be debris on the impeller, the part that sucks the water in at the bottom, clogging the intake. And that can limit the ability limit the ability of the pump to pump the water out. And that cleaning will really boost the efficiency of everything and keep it running great. And then you can put it all back together. Might be a good time if you have a check valve that's kind of loud every time that pump goes on and off to replace that as well. It's relatively inexpensive. And get it all back together and have it run, you know, without issue. Now, if you don't have a backup sump pump, you really should have a backup sump pump, because if the power goes out, obviously that main pump's not going to do you any good. There are do-it-yourself options out there, but we do have PermaSeal that's been a longtime sponsor here. They offer a program that's pretty affordable. They'll handle the whole thing, and they use really, really good pumps. The other issue is that if you go back to doing it yourself, some pumps don't last forever. If your pump is over like 7 years old, it's a really good idea that you consider replacing it, because that can really be a bummer if that pump fails in the middle of a rainstorm. So I would definitely consider that. All right, 857-557-4LOU. Let's do this. Let's get to our first caller this morning. Our first call is sponsored by bathfitter.com/Lou. And let's talk to Debbie, who is calling in from Chicago. Good morning, Debbie. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. I have a question about paver bricks. We have our patio and our walkway is the sort of standard issue paver bricks, and our stoop coming out of our house is more of a terracotta type paver brick.
Okay.
We had a landscaper last year come out and re-level them. The ants ate away at all the grout stuff, whatever.
Right.
Mess. So he did a really good job. Everything looked terrific. And I don't know if he suggested or I saw that having them sealed would keep it fresher, because they're probably about 10 years old. It would give it that wet look, and that it would hold the grout. Well, he did the sealing, and the first couple days it looked great. But now over like a very short period of time, it started to kind of have like a milky finish or cloudy finish over
right,
the bricks.
Right.
And on the terracotta, there's like patchiness.
Right.
So I talked to him and he's like, okay, maybe we have to power wash that off, whatever. And we're going to do it this spring, but I wanted to get your opinion before I have him do anything, because it looks really pretty cruddy.
I think that there's a couple things that are working against you in the sealing of it all with the older bricks. So it's a lot like, you know, if you don't use moisturizer on your hands or your feet and they're super dry, and then you put a little moisturizer on there and it's like, wow, did I put any on here? It just kind of soaks it all up. The same is true of your pavers that, you know, it was so dry. It's been out there that milkiness, I think what can happen, and it all depends too on when they applied it. Like if it was a hot day, super sunny, it gets absorbed in the sealer and it almost starts to dry before it, you know, can do its job. And that's where a lot of time the milkiness can come from a look. So I think what's important is the day it goes down, it can't be super hot and super sunny, which, you know, early spring should be a good time to do that. I would pressure wash it again to clean it as the contractor suggested. And then what would be a good idea is that they probably have to do two coats, almost like, it depends on the kind of sealer that he does, but it would make sense to me that they would do a wet on wet second coat. So they would do a section and then right after that, like, oh, it looks good, nice, and then go back again and do another wet on wet. And it might also be something that they test in an area to see if this works, because then you introduce more sealer so that as it gets absorbed into the brick, you know, to latch on and give you the seal that you're in, that look you're going for, that other coat is on the top to kind of blend in with it. And then as it cures, which is, there's a difference between curing and drying, then you have a better chance of it looking nice and consistent and give you that shiny look that you're going for.
So he doesn't have to remove the current.
Yeah. No, I want him to. No, I do want him to pressure wash it. Yes, I want him to clean.
Oh, and just by pressure washing it, it'll get rid of
that? It should come, based on how you're describing it, it should come off. Then it'll be nice and clean, and he's got to let that dry before he puts the sealer on. But then say, hey, I talked to this friend of mine, because we're friends, Debbie.
yes.
And I want to do a wet-on-wet coat. What do you think about that? And ask him if the product that he's using allows that. I bet it does.
Okay. Should I do this? I mean, I thought I'd like that look, but am I going to run into this problem again? Or
your bricks? I would not. It looks great when it's new and it's shiny, but it doesn't last.
Okay.
So I mean,
it doesn't take care of the grout and things to keep that.
No.
Oh.
Not in my opinion.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll just have him take it off and
clean it and go with
live
that.
With it as opposed to as opposed to going through this again, and because it doesn't look good.
It doesn't, right? And then the long term how it looks, I get it. It's just not right.
No. Well, yeah. But all right. Well, thank you, Lou. I just wanted to make sure that he would be able to get this stuff off with just pressure washing.
He should.
If you would suggest he had to use some other product.
Yeah, he should.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Have a great morning. I appreciate you calling. 857-557-4LOU. It's time for a report. What? Oh, yeah, I'm going to get in trouble. It's time for WGN Radio News. Here's Dave Schwann. My friend Tim is a guy that I've known since high school, and his wife. They're just lovely people. They're both like super in, they're our age, but they're super in shape and whatever. They're like, oh yeah, and they're talking all about this, you know, and they're talking about the things that you eat, and you don't eat this, you don't eat that. And I go, well, how is that, you know, to my friend Tim? And he goes, it's miserable.
How often do you do it?
He goes, oh, like once a year, and once a year is too much.
They're all miserable.
Well, then why would you do that? I don't understand. I don't get it. What do I know?
If you can find a way to just eat healthy all the time, it's so much easier than having to do these stupid, like, don't talk to me next week.
I know I'm not going to call you at all. I'm not going to text you. I'm not going to email you. You're going to be like you're going to have like a dragon face when you know you send me something. So good luck.
Good luck to you too.
Yeah. And your poor husband. Now would be a great time for a week long business trip. He's probably booking it as we speak. 857-557-4LOU is our number. 857-557-4568. Let's talk with Richard, who's in Chicago. Good morning, Richard. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Lou. How are you? Fine. I know you're fine.
I'm fine. How may I help you?
I have a question on my heating system, and then I have a comment on the name thing you were talking about earlier, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I have a gas hot water heating system.
Okay.
It's older, but it works. And I have an expansion tank, you know, the expansion tank. And I was just wondering, they say you should drain and refill that expansion tank every year so you have a little air gap in the tank. And I was wondering, what happens if you don't drain that tank and you don't have that air gap in there? What would happen? Is it, what would happen?
Well, you know, the thing is, there really should be no reason to drain the tank, because if you think about how it works, I mean, right now, expansion tank is on the hot water side.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got the hot water coming out, right? And it comes out, and then it tees to the tank, and then it continues on. Well, when that tank goes in there, it's full of air. And when the water goes in there, you know, unless the tank is leaking, it's a sealed system. So the air really can't escape it. So in the sense that, have you done anything wrong? I don't think so.
Okay, because somebody used to say, hey, you know what, you got to drain and refill that tank so you have a little air in that tank. And I thought, well, why?
No, you have air in it, and it shouldn't. And again, unless it's leaking, right? So if all of a sudden it's dripping water, well, then you don't have any air left in it. But if it's not leaking, you're good to go.
Right. You know the name thing you were talking about earlier?
The name.
Yeah, the nicknames.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the thing that always gets me, my name is Richard.
Right.
Right. And when I meet people, it happens pretty often. They go, what do they call you, Dick?
Right.
And I go, no, it's Richard or Rich or Rick, but it's not Dick. And I thought to myself, how did they ever go from Richard and make the quantum leap to Dick? I have no idea how that happened.
I have
but it just strikes me as strange.
Yeah, you think it can't? I know it goes way, way back, but you think it had anything to do with Nixon? But it has to go farther back than that.
Way further back.
Yeah.
Way, way, way further back. But your name is Lou, right?
Right.
How would you feel if somebody walked up to you and they said, Hi, I'm Lou. Hi, Lou, how are you? What do they call you, Dick? And you'd go, no.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean,
there doesn't seem a connection there. I don't see the connection.
Well, Richard, the given name that your parents gave you, I am so glad that you called this morning. I don't know that we cleared
anything. The one thing that really makes me angry is when they call me Debbie.
All right, Debbie, I'm hanging up on you now. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. How about one more call before we need to take a break? This is Kevin, who's in Chicago. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a question that deals with plumbing.
Okay.
I had a toilet stack in my home that was blocked. And the first plumber came and they traced it down into the basement and they said the sub line that fed into the main line was completely obstructed with tree roots. And they said, we can't sufficiently rod it because that would cause the pipe to crack and we need to dig it up and it's going to cost thousands of dollars.
Right.
Got a second opinion. Another plumber came and he said, that's not necessary. I can clean it out. He was able to ride it out. There were tree roots in there. After he was done, he said, he got it clear. He said, you should put some rock salt into your sewer line to retard future growth of roots and to kill any tree roots that have gotten into the line. So my question is that good advice?
I mean, the rock salt. Okay, so he cleared the line. Everything's doing fine. And do you know, did he televise the line with a camera and show you the what it looked like?
He did not, but the first plumber did. Because the first plumber rotted it for a while, got a bunch of tree roots out, and backed up water. But he said they couldn't completely clear it. And then he called the second plumber, who cameraed it, and they said it's completely blocked.
Okay.
And then it was the third plumber that came, rotted it, and got it clear.
Yeah.
So it was not cameraed after the third plumber cleared it.
The typical treatment for roots is using something called copper sulfate, okay? But copper sulfate, here's the thing is if you use it, and there's a bunch of treatments you can put down the toilet, like, once a month, you flush it down the toilet before you go to bed or something like that, and you let it sit there. But a sewer line works on gravity, right? So the water that drains out of a sewer line is at the bottom of the pipe. You know, if we picture a pipe in the horizontal position, here it comes draining down. The pipe doesn't fill up entirely like a domestic water pipe. If the roots are coming from the top or even the side or above the water line where the sewage water goes down, any of the additives aren't going to do a thing because, it's coming from the top and eventually can, where it touches the water, it can keep it at bay. But as the roots get bigger and bigger, it's kind of you're throwing, you're just trying to keep the inevitable at bay. So if everything's clear now, and, the budget does not, allow the digging up of this pipe and doing whatever, I'd get on a regimen of copper sulfate probably once a month, buy a couple of bottles of it and just put it in your calendar and put it down there to kind of keep the thing flowing for you. Not rock salt.
At the clean out in the basement, or should I put it in at the toilet that's upstairs, two levels up?
So there's no basement toilet?
Not on that particular sewer line.
Okay.
There's a powder room that is on a different line.
The thing is that most of it needs to mix with water to be effective. So I would go to the upstairs toilet, like at, 10 o'clock at night before you're going to bed. And so you can get the thing in the sewer line and let it go and then leave it so it sits there for, 6 hours or so, 7 hours.
Okay. And you said it's called copper sulfate?
Copper sulfate. The name brand, there's a company called Robic, R-O-B-I-C. R-O-B-I-C, I believe that's right. There's a couple other ones, but there's also ones that I don't have the brand, but if you look for copper sulfate as the ingredient, comes in like a copper-colored bottle that you'll find at the hardware store.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it, Kevin. I appreciate you calling this morning as well. 857-557-4LOU. It's 6:48 in the morning. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Bonide actually makes this product, the shake called Revenge, that is activated by water. So with the wet soil, if you go and buy a big bottle of this and shake it around the perimeter, it's an ant food, and it draws the ants outside, and the ants that are outside are like, hey, look at that. It's like an old country buffet out here. Let's just stay out here and eat this delicious food that the people just supplied me with, and then they go bye-bye. And believe me, there's plenty of ants. We just want to keep them outside of your home. And it would be a really good idea to think about doing that as well. 857-5574-LOU. Let's talk to Michael, who's in Chicago. Michael, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, how are you? Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, my question to you is about stamped asphalt. In 2000, have you ever, you must know the
I do.
The technique, correct?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
It's actually really cool to watch.
Yes, it was. And I was actually, not that I have a Ferrari, I happened to be driving by a Ferrari dealer on Ogden Avenue in Westmont some many years ago, and yeah. I saw this technique. And I thought, wow, I'm just getting ready to put a new driveway in. Where did you get this done? And they gave me the name of the company, which was an asphalt company out of St. Charles. And I still had that phone number, and they came over, and they did it to my driveway. I have a small driveway. It was nice, cool. Everybody else was putting in real brick. I decided to do this. It was cheaper, and it was nicer, and it looked real good for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Last couple of years, like the asphalt does, it starts to crack. Okay. Now, mind you, I only had half the driveway done. Most of it is driveway. The other half is like a walkway. So I only had the walkway part done. So the asphalt part where you drive on, I've had recoated many times and cracks fixed. The issue is I can't get I called the company to see if they can help me kind of patch and repair and paint the stamped, the painted part.
Right.
Okay. They said, no, we don't do West. I live in Western Springs area. They said, we don't do Western Springs anymore. And they were rather rude about it. But I said, well, who else does stamped asphalt? Because I want to have that part repaired. It's going to be individually, you got to come out and, I guess, caulk it and do whatever they do to it.
Right.
And then repaint it.
Right.
The question is, who does stamped asphalt in the western suburbs, in the Cook County area that you're aware of?
Well, I think that who would do it is the folks at Andreas Construction, whom I just mentioned, because they do asphalt and concrete, installations and repair, and they work all over the Chicagoland area. They're not like a barber, the work doesn't come to them. They got to go to the work. And
right.
I'm assuming they would come to Western Springs. They're based out of Cicero, but they go all over the place. The biggest challenge you're going to have with the repairs, depending on the severity of it, they may have to physically cut out sections to try and match the pattern.
Right. And Lou, I don't think it's really that serious.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I don't think that, I mean, it's starting to get, the cracks are starting to get big.
Right.
And I'm just concerned about the patch. Just to make sure it doesn't really.
Are you driving or do you have an opportunity to write a phone number down?
No, I'm good. I'm stopped right now.
All right. You ready?
Ready.
708-863-5735.
That's great.
Called that.
It was very difficult.
Yeah.
Because I called a number of places, and they just don't do it. I just don't understand why.
Well,
of course,
it's
my current asphalt guy.
Yeah. Right. It's a specialty. Not everybody does it, and I'm not 100% sure that Andreas does it, but I know they cover the gamut, and they've got a ton of experience, and they should be able to help you for sure. Appreciate the phone call. It is 6:58 in the morning. We need to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don, Andy, and Lindsay, have any of you gone kayaking?
I have, in the Chicago River.
Oh. Schwani?
Not kayaking, canoeing.
Canoeing.
But I've
okay.
not done
canoeing.
Kayaking.
Kayaking. Lindsay, any kayaking experience for you and the Smithwick family at all?
No. I don't
okay.
think so.
So the Manfredini family, as a family, we've done a lot of kayaking on a lake, you know, mostly lake kayaking. So over the Easter weekend, all of our, we were able to get, this is a monumental task when you have a lot of children like we have. We were able to go away. We went to Arizona and got the whole family together, including my future daughter-in-law, for Easter, which was great. I mean, it's just, you know, these are the precious moments in life. And in Arizona, where we were, there is something called, Lindsay, you went to school in Arizona, the Lower Salt River.
Yes.
It's in the Tonto National Forest. I mean, sounds beautiful, right? It is beautiful. And my wife found this place where we could all go kayaking down the Lower Salt River, 2 hours, and we're all going to do this as a family. And so when you get set up, you know, they have this unbelievable release that you have to sign, which was actually kind of funny. I was like, did anybody read the release? And they're like, no, I just signed it. Mom said, just sign it. And like every other word, like, and if you do this, you're going to owe us money. And if you sue us, we're going to sue you. I mean, it was almost comical, right? The whole thing. So we get there. There's this young guy, you know, seasonal worker, you know, skinny, look exactly what you think a kayak guy. It's an unguided tour. And he gives us the whole thing, you know, hey, this is how you paddle, wear your life jacket. You know, it's not like a really difficult thing. And it's the whole Manfredini family. And then these two people, Nancy and Phil. And he asks everybody, has anybody not kayaked before? And Phil raises his hand. You know, okay, whatever. So, you know, he's like, don't worry about it. The river all goes in one direction. You know, go left here. And when you get to this thing, go right. And just, you know, 2 hours later, we'll pick you up. Sounds like a great time. It's a beautiful day, right? We're all excited about this. And as we're, you know, dragging our kayaks in the thing, I have a Chicago Cubs hat on. And Nancy, which, by the way, my wife says, oh, Nancy, that was my mother's name, right? Which it was. I'm like, oh, Nancy, you know, we're chit-chatting, whatever. And she's like, oh, are you from Chicago? Oh, yeah, we're from Chicago. And, oh, and she goes, did you go to any of the World Series games? I'm like, wow, that was like 2016, but, you know, whatever. So we're talking about the Cubs games. So we get in there and we start paddling. And one of the things the guy says, Andy, is he goes, look, you guys don't have to stay together, but you should all kind of just keep an eye on each other. Yeah. Because, you know, if something happens, you know, he says, if you fall in the water, it's, you know, it's cold or refreshing, you know, put your feet down, you know, kind of stuff we all know. But anyway, okay, so we get going and we start going. And my family is kind of moving ahead. And I'm with my youngest son, Max, and we're talking and paddling. And the first thing is like this little bit of rapids, not anything crazy. Like it's ankle deep water at this point, right? And as we're going through, Max kind of gets hung up on a rock and he's like, hold on a second, you know, and I'm ahead of him, and then he breaks through, and as I turn the kayak, you know, waiting for him, I see a kayak come down with no person on it. Oh, and this is the one thing, too. The guy goes, if you fall in the water, hang on to your paddle. Don't worry about the boat, because the paddle's going to take off down the river faster than the boat, and you're going to need the paddle, you know? So I turn, and I see a boat, but I don't see anybody on it. And it's either Nancy or Phil. Remember, Nancy was my mother-in-law's name. So now I'm like, ugh, I got to go help these people because the guy said don't leave anybody. So I had a backpack. I give the backpack to Max. I go, here, go catch up with your family. I'm going to see if I can help these people. Lo and behold, Nancy is hanging on to the side of the kayak. I can't see her. She's on the other side of the kayak. And right where the rapids go, it's like now the guy goes, it's probably the most beautiful part of the kayaking thing, this rock formation in front of this 45-foot pool, the guy said. It's 45 feet deep right there. And I'm paddling up. I'm going, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm okay. She's a little shaky. I go, do you have your paddle? She goes, no. And I go, it's the first thing he told you to do is hang on to your paddle, right? So I'm paddling over to her, and then all of a sudden, the second boat comes, no Phil.
You've got to be kidding me.
Oh, my gosh. And so I'm by myself. There goes my family. They're off down the river, right? And I'm paddling to go there. I go, Phil, are you okay? And he's a little shaken up. He's like, I lost my shoe. And I go, okay, hold on. I go, do you have your paddle? He goes, yeah, and I have Nancy's too. I go, okay, that's good. We've got paddles, right? And right before we got in the water, they had, do you know what a dry bag is? It's basically, it's like a fancy Ziploc bag, yeah. Right? And I remember Nancy saying, guy, just off, you know, not paying attention, because I think I want one of those dry bags to put my phone in. And so, when I said, do you have your paddle? She goes, I don't have my paddle. And I lost my phone in my dry bag. And I just instinctively go, the bag you just bought? Like, why this poor woman is hanging in the cold water, right?
Is so she I go over to or not laughing?
No, they're shaken up. But okay. I'm trying to stay calm. I'm going, right. You're okay. I go, do you both know how to swim? Yeah, okay. Just hang on to the boat. I'll come get you. So I paddle over with one boat, and I go, Phil is like tied up inside the weeds on the side there where the current is. And his exactly what they said not to do. His life jacket is like up by his neck because it's not tight enough. His glasses are like sideways. He looks like, you know, Benny Hill. And he's just, you know, hanging on for dear life. I go grab Nancy. I take a strap from my kayak because I have nothing. I've got a water bottle, right? I don't have a phone because I gave all that to Max. And and so I tie the kayak, and I have Nancy on the side, and I paddle to the shore, which is all rocky. I go, you stay here. I'm going to go get Phil. And I go get Phil, and he's like, I lost my shoe. And I'm, you know, and I'm going, you're okay, you're okay. So then I get them to the shore, and she goes, are you with the tour? Oh, well. Are you a guide? I go, no, I'm a Boy Scout. So I get them both to the side, and I get them back in their kayak. They're a little older than me, and they're a little shaken up. I mean, I feel badly for them. And now they're soaking wet, right? And I get them back in, and I go, let's take your dry bag and connect it to the kayak. This happens again. You know, it doesn't. And so then now I'm kayaking with Phil and Nancy.
Oh, my gosh.
And I go, why don't you two follow me? And as we're they're following me, and there's a couple more rapids, you know, and he has, poor Phil has no shoe. And so I hear Nancy tell me, oh, we're going to meet my son. And they're from Arizona. They're originally from Chicago. And so I go, oh, where's your son? Oh, he's up there on a paddleboard, whatever. So I'm a little bit ahead of him, and I see this kid. He's like 30. And I go, as I approach him, I go, is your mother's name Nancy? And he looks at me. He goes, yeah. Is your dad named Phil? Yeah. I go, well, they fell in the water. I go, they're a little shaken up, but they're right behind me. And then I hear Nancy, that's our son!
This sounds like a movie scene.
So I know. So then I spend the whole rest of the two-hour kayak thing by myself.
Oh.
Because my family has gone away. And I have no phone, no way to get in communication with them. And we finally meet up at the end. It was hilarious. So that was the, I mean, and they were fine. Everything was fine. He just doesn't have a shoe.
That's a good story.
I'm your guy. If you're going with kayaking, I'm your guy because I'm going to take care
of you. You saved their life.
No, I did not save their life. I just got them back in the kayak. It was really funny.
And like
I had to grab her leg and put it back in the, you know, like both of them were, you know, and they were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I fell in. I go, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Oh, if he was really a superhero, we'd have found the shoe.
I know. The shoe took off, though. But the thing was is that I caught myself going, when she said, I lost my phone in the dry bag. The one you just bought? Like I was a parent.
Nancy.
In the end.
Would you do this again, though? Because we.
So then so this was the thing, too. So remember I said that where they fell in was like the most beautiful part. And so they're back on their kayaks and I can see they're shaking up. I go, okay, hold on a second. You're going to be fine. You know how to swim. And they're just floating there because there's no current. I go, stop for a minute and look at the beauty of this place, right? Look at how beautiful this place is. And they look around. You're right. You're right. I go, okay, let's go. And then they followed me down the mirror. I'm with Nancy and Phil. Probably never to see them again.
Unbelievable.
It's like in Vacation with the they finally get to the Grand Canyon. Oh, good. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, right. That's so funny. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. All right, Jim in Northbrook, you can hang on a second. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Back to the phone lines. This is Jim in Northbrook. Jim, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. We had a second floor toilet leak, and looks like water damage on the first floor ceiling. Mm. And I wanted to find out what I should do to prevent any mold growth or anything like that. I've got some drywall guys coming out to give me estimates on the repair, but I want to know how to handle any mold risk.
Was it, not to be trying to be delicate, but was it...
As far as I can tell, it was tank water and not bowl water.
Wonderful. That is... in the world of toilet leaking, that's like you hit the jackpot. You should go buy a lottery ticket.
I say that there's a little bit of a challenge in this is where the stain is actually almost directly underneath another toilet. I've got two bathrooms back to back on that floor.
Okay.
And I know water travels and all of that, but we found one toilet that was leaking. The stain shows up in what's really a different place.
Right.
I can't smell any sewage.
Right.
Best as I can tell.
And how did you discover the leak relatively quickly, or was it weeks and then you saw this?
Well, that's the second challenge. Right. Is we were down in Florida for about 10 weeks.
Got it.
Our 24-year-old son was living here, but we didn't see it until just a couple weeks ago. But I think we would have noticed it, so I think it's fairly recent.
Okay, and then the damage that you're going to have the painters or drywall people come out, like, is it enough damage that when you look at it, it's got to get cut out and patched?
Yeah, like if we're going to, the stains are pretty substantial in that ceiling, and the stains adjoin a wall. You know, the two bathrooms back to back, second floor, there's a wall that comes down with all that plumbing that actually, where the stains are in is in a first floor bathroom.
Right. Okay,
so it's on the outside of the wall, inside of the wall, and then a 18-inch square stain.
So here's what I would do. When you have the guys, the people come out, have them cut open that, you know, they're going to cut out that ceiling area before they do the patching. And then I want you to have at the ready a bottle of Concrobium Mold Control and hand it to these guys and say, before you patch this, can you spray the heck out of this up inside there? And that will kill any potential mildew and mold. And they'll also, you know, inspect it to make sure there's no further damage. But assuming it was just this leak localized, you know, they'll be able to tell pretty quickly what it is. And, you know, if it's excessive damage, they may say, hey, buddy, we got to leave this open for a couple days, let it dry out with a fan. But if it's if they open it up and it's essentially dry now because the leak has been fixed, spray it with the Concrobium Mold Control. They can go back in and patch, you know, right away. They're going to have to make a couple trips, obviously, you know, to a couple of finishing trips before they paint the ceiling, and you should be good to go.
Okay. And should I also have them, you know, there's that wall where the plumbing stack is, as well as the ceiling. Should I have them open up that wall, assuming water might run down?
Wouldn't be a bad idea. Wouldn't be a bad idea, because on those outside walls, you're going to have insulation, and the insulation is what is the more problem area for leaks like that, where it can absorb the water. And we just want to make sure it's completely dry before we patch it all back and get it looking good. So that Concorbium mold control underneath there should do a good job for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. Just bumping up against time. When we come back, it's going to be our Noodaloo 2 that you're super excited about. If you're on the go and you want to keep your hands cleaned, you're going to want to stick around for this. But first, we're, so much of the hand sanitizer, but what does that do? That really dries out your hands, right? And you get cracked hands. And if you did more like with a soap, right? But what about the convenience? Oh, have we got a new Tulu 2 for you?
This weekend's new Tulu 2 brings a whole new spin to portable hand washing. Suds to Go was brought to life by Gabe Trevizzo and his wife, Cindy. Parents of four children, Gabe and Cindy quickly became aware that it was not easy to keep hands clean while outside. Soccer games, baseball practices, picnics, camping trips, all these fairly common activities that families participate in that also make you realize how difficult washing hands with soap and water can be when you don't have access to a sink. Ow! We've all become very familiar with hand sanitizers lately, but they're not always ideal, right? Thus, Suds to Go was born. Now, originally, the duo was featured on a show you may have heard of called Shark Tank, years ago before the pandemic, with their first patented and portable hand washing system that included a stainless steel water bottle, a pump, and foaming soap. The stainless steel water bottle, much like a Hydro Flask or a Yeti, doubles as your drinkable water bottle, and when you flip the top to use the pump, squirts out the foaming hand soap as well. Those start at about $35 and go up depending on what you add on. Genius! And if that wasn't genius enough, they've taken it a step further and now also sell their new refillable Suds to Go caps, which is really what we're featuring today. These are caps that have a pump and a little reservoir to add your foaming soap. They're about the size of... they kind of look like an inhaler almost. You can literally twist it onto any standard disposable water bottle. Smart Water, Aquafina, Ice Mountain, Fiji, whatever you fancy, and it automatically doubles as a portable sink. Squirt, wash, rinse, drink. These little guys go for $15. A no-brainer, in my opinion, especially if you're someone who finds yourself outdoors often with messy hands or have kids that always have messy hands and sticky hands. Or maybe you're just sick of hand sanitizer. For more information, check out HouseSmartsRadio.com or check out our HouseSmarts YouTube channel. And be sure to click the subscribe button while you're there.
It really is genius. I mean, the thing is, I will say this, that it'd be the kind of thing that you could keep in your glove box, which, Lindsay, you do. If you're someone that carries a purse or a bag, it's perfect for that. And it really does look like an inhaler. You're right. It looks exactly like somebody that needed a rescue inhaler. But you spin it, you put it on the top of the bottle, like Lindsay just mentioned. And it's really quite ingenious because the pump, you turn the bottle over, as she mentioned, you squeeze the bottle, it puts a little water in your hand, and then it's $15. It's really a good idea, for sure. Go to...
The coolest. I mean, with the kids, that's the prime problem, is I always have kids with sticky hands everywhere. And
sure,
just the other day, we needed it in the car, and we didn't have any wipes, and we had grossness all over.
Right. So when you you parents, your grandparents, it's a good one. You can go to housemartsradio.com, which will connect you to the video and more information about it there. It was a really nice couple that we met at that Inspired Home show as well. You know who they remind me of? Do you see the TV commercial for, I think it's Capital One, the Antonellis? The cheese. We're the Antonellis! And it's like this cute husband and wife, and they have a cheese shop, which we discovered is in, you know, of course, I Googled them. It's a real cheese shop in, like, Philadelphia or something like that. And she's super cute, and they talk about all the money they've saved with their Capital One card. Anyway, that couple that made this kind of remind me of the Antonellis. Anyway, that has nothing to do with anything. Go to HouseSmartsRadio.com and find out more information. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. Let's go back to the phone lines this morning and talk with Judy, who's in Westmont. Hi, Judy.
Hi. Sorry. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I know it's early in the morning. You got to clear the. You got to get your.
Yes,
got to get going. I get it.
I appreciated your story about the river rafting.
Oh my gosh.
With the kayaking.
The bag you just bought. I felt so badly about chastising the woman for losing her. The bag you just bought.
I don't know why.
It came out of my mouth. It was really funny. Anyway, how may I help you?
But you know what? Those are the best adventures with family.
Oh. You know what, Judy, it really is. And you know, the older you get and your kids get older and you realize how precious it is just to have everybody together, even if we just sat around a table and talked, but to do something like that and everybody had a great time. Anyway, how may I help you?
Okay. I have two actual questions. One is I'm trying to get a backup sump pump. I have a storm sewer in our alley that runs across our property, and sump pump constantly goes. So we were looking for a backup sump pump, and I was looking at the Watchdog, but I don't know if that's a good one or if there's something else you'd recommend.
I mean, the base, if you're talking about doing it yourself, right? They make fine pumps, and they do a really nice job. The biggest thing is sizing the pump correctly to move the same amount of water that your main pump does when it's working, right? That's the critical aspect in all of this. Now, if you inherently have an issue where you're like, hey, I've got the storm sewer and our pump runs all the time. Well, let me ask you this. If you buy this sump pump and everything, are you going to install it yourself?
I don't know if I can, but if not, I'm sure like my brother or my son could.
Okay. Help. All right. Run the numbers because there are, you know, they offer like a good, better, best, right? And so for you, you probably want to go with the best system because you know you've got this issue with the water, you know, coming all the time. If you go to somebody like, and this is not to be, you know, overly promotional, but if you go to somebody like a PermaSeal, who does these backup pumps as well, it professionally installed, and they'll size the pump properly to go in there like that, then you'll spend a little bit more. It'll be more than doing it yourself for sure, but you'll know that it's all done right. And, you know, when you're talking about your basement and flooding, it may be worth just an estimate because it's free just to find out what they say. If you're going to do the basement Watchdog, they do offer, as I mentioned, good, better, best, and they have a gel battery available that costs a little bit more, but it's a better use of your money long term. That battery will last up to 5 years, and you don't have to add any water to the battery because the lower price point ones use what's called a lead acid battery, and you need to check the water in those batteries twice a year. That's the biggest thing that happens with anybody that does a do-it-yourself system. They never check the batteries, and then, you know, a power outage comes and a rainstorm comes, and like, my backup pump only ran for half an hour because the battery wasn't maintained.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. I didn't realize that.
Right, so the battery is the battery and the pump moving the same amount of water that your main pump is working is the key. The two key questions you have to answer when you're picking this stuff up.
Okay, I appreciate that. Can I ask you one other quick question?
Sure.
I have a bird that is just constantly trying where the downspout angles down and comes down the house, and this one corner of our home, he keeps trying to make a nest, and I keep, before he gets it finished, I knock it down.
Right.
And they keep back. Is there any way to prevent them from, you know, continuing to do that?
Well,
I've tied aluminum foil pans on the gutter itself and the downspout, but they still keep coming back.
Can you reach where this area is?
Yes.
Okay. So the biggest thing is birds, rodents, all of them, they're creatures of habit. So now they're focused on, I got to build a nest and this is where I'm going to build it. So we just have to make it sadly uncomfortable for them so they go somewhere else. If you can get even, there's something at the hardware store called hardware cloth, which is like a screening, but it's malleable, right? If you go buy a little piece of it, they typically sell it by the foot. Grab one of those things and kind of bend it to fit in that space between where the downspout comes against the house where they're trying to build a nest, right? And position it in such a way that the bird can't land on it, they can't get at it, and they're going to be like, okay, well, this is crazy. I got to go another spot. And they'll find another spot. And if you just stay on it, sooner or later, they will go somewhere else.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
You got it. Thanks so much for calling. 857-5574. Lou, we'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Thank you. Thank you. How may I help you, sir?
Quick. The bathroom is remodeled and put the complete floors and walls, baths around. I had two brothers do it. One did each bathroom. Okay, when they're cleaning off the grout, one came out perfect. These are very thin grout lines, like the thinnest you can do. I don't know, what is it, 16th or something?
Okay.
And the one bathroom came out, when they cleaned off all the haze and grout, came out beautiful. The other one came out where I think he took the grout down too low, and you can almost see the edges of some of the tiles. And it was just done several days ago. My question is, can I have them grout on top of there to bring that grout more flush to the face of the tile?
Yeah. So you said it was just done.
Yeah, it was just done about a week ago.
Yeah, so that we're still in a good place. I mean, if it was a month ago, I wouldn't wait too long, because even though the mortar, I'm assuming it's traditional grout, so it's Portland-based, and if they come back over the top of it, it should bond no problem, and they probably, you know, he probably just put too much pressure on the sponge to knock it off. They may use a little, they have this little bitty squeegee that they can use where they wipe it on, wipe it off, and then it spans the width of the tile, and you don't use a sponge, and you can layer over the top of it, and then they wipe it with the sponge on the tile, and it should be fine. But I would have them come sooner than later.
Yeah, okay. And this is not like an epoxy grout. This is just a traditional grout,
right?
I use.
So that's perfect. Even if it was epoxy, you could do it, but with the Portland, I wouldn't wait until it's a month, because then it cures and the bonding might not be as good, but it should bond no problem if you get it done within the next week or so.
Okay, and even though it's going to be a very thin layer, it should not...
No problem. No problem whatsoever.
Okay, great. Hey, thanks so much for your help, and I've been listening to you since you and I were kids, so thanks again.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, John. 857-5574-LOU. We got another John calling in this morning from Wheaton. Hey, John, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
My sub pump pit is completely dry. And I'm guessing, and I've got some guys coming out next week, I'm guessing I got a clog somewhere in some of the drain tiles. But what I'm curious about is, now that I own a townhome and I share two walls, so I really only got the front and the back, how does the drainage system work? How do the drain tiles work to get the water from the back to the pit in the front? Am I saying that right?
Yeah. Okay. Here's my question. So you just moved into this townhouse?
No, we've been here for about 12 years.
Okay. And was the pit always dry, or it did have water before?
No. I just noticed that this past spring, used to work like a champ. As a matter of fact, we've got a backup system and everything put in there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My guess, and, you know, I don't know how the townhome was built, but typically you would have your own drain tile around the whole perimeter of your basement, even though you have a unit on either side of you.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they have drain tiles also, and probably have their own sump pumps. The fact that you're a middle unit, my guess is your neighbors are doing more of the work than yours ever does. And maybe your neighbors had a pump replaced or something like that, or, you know, who knows. which is why yours is so dry. I think it's a good idea to have the thing checked out. I mean, that's smart if the thing is bone dry, but you should have drain tile all the way around leading to your pump. And why it's completely dry, you know, especially after, even after all this rain yesterday, nothing in that pit.
Nothing. And in previous springs, Lou, what we used to get is this, they would pile the snow up along my garage, let's say where the shrubbery is.
Yep, yep.
And as that snow would melt, my sub pump would go like crazy.
Right, okay? right.
And then after all the melting and everything, mm-hmm. and we would get in the summertime, my pump would not run at all. Hmm. Not at all.
Hmm. Yeah, I bet it has more to do with your neighbors and they're picking up the heavy load, but I think that what you're doing to have it inspected is a smart idea, and have them come out and take a look at it and just make sure everything's fine, check the pump and all that good stuff. But you know, if it's not filled with water and you're not getting water in the basement, everything's good to go. Thanks so much for the phone call. We need to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Coming up this hour on House Smarts Radio, Lou Manfredini is here. He continues to take your calls. And then just after 8:30, he's got a great interview with a cool, new, good-looking portable air conditioning unit. As today is proving, the weather is heating up out there. So sooner or later, we're going to crank those ACs. But some rooms don't always get all the air, or maybe we don't have central air. This is one sharp AC unit. So stick around. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by Dykstra Home Services. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini right here on 720 WGN.
And we've had so many of you have been so generous. Our friends at Townstone Financial are going to make a matching donation up to $2,500. Big thank you to them. And as you know, Misericordia is this amazing place on the north side of Chicago and with residence facilities throughout the Chicagoland area. And they provide programs and education and just a loving, caring world for children and adults, 600 of them, with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So if you can support at all in any way, please go to WGNradio.com/candy. You'll see a link there to my giving page. And we're trying to reach $10,000 before the end of the month. Today's April 23rd. So I think we'll make it. And with the generosity and help of all of you, thank you so, so much for your support. 857-5574-LOU. After 8:30 this morning, we're going to learn about, and before you know it, it's going to be warm, right? And it's not a new philosophy, but you know, if you've got a spot in your house that a lot of people still working from home, and maybe the place you have the office is a little bit hot, and you, instead of turning the thermostat up, maybe a window air conditioner would make a better idea. They're relatively inexpensive, but you know, a window air conditioner is not the most attractive looking thing that you've ever seen. I found one that's really cool looking, and I talked to the CEO and the founder of the company. We're going to have that conversation after the 8:30 news this morning, but right now let's get back to your phone calls at 857-557-4LOU. This is Gail in Plainfield. Hi, Gail. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
So excited to talk to you. Watch you all the time on WGN. I have a question for you. Kitchen table is about 10 years old, and I don't think it's solid wood. I think it's like a wood veneer top.
Okay.
And from all those years of using, I guess, a polish with a wax on it, it must have a buildup. And when I put something hot on it, it kind of gets sticky,
yeah,
the tabletop. And I've tried everything to try to remove this buildup. And it helps a little bit, but then, you know, it's back to where it was. And I stopped using the spray. I just wipe it down and that's it.
But it is, as far as you know, a real wood veneer.
Not 100% sure, no. Is there a way to tell for sure? like by looking at it?
Well, I mean, if I looked at it,
I don't know.
if I looked at it, I would know. But I mean, I don't know if you. I mean, I'm not, no offense, but let me ask you this: what about the rest of the table? Is that wood?
Yes.
Like the sides and the legs and that
the
kind of stuff.
The sides and the legs, yes.
Okay. I'm going to go with it's a real wood veneer. And I want you to go to the hardware store and buy a bottle of Howard's Restore a Finish.
Howard's Restore Finish, okay.
And then you're also going to buy a package of You're going to buy a package of Quadruple Zero Steel Wool.
Correct. Okay.
And then you're going to put that in a container. There's a neutral that you can buy. That's what I would buy. There's other ones with colors. Just get the neutral. Pour it in a container. Wear some rubber gloves with the grain of the wood veneer. Go back and forth, and it's almost like you're giving the wood a little facial.
Okay.
It's amazing to me when I give advice on the show how many references I make to what would you call that? Like the pampering aesthetic, that people yes. give them, right? Like, oh, it's like nail polish, or oh, it's like giving yourself a facial. I've never had a facial, so I don't even know if that's what they do. But don't they put stuff on your face and then they get the stuff off your face? Isn't that what they do?
They do.
Right. So it's like that. Yes. And then when you wipe that with the grain, you're going to see that all of a sudden it's going to, what will happen is, Gail, when you first go with the steel wool, you're going to put it in a container, squeeze it out, and put a little bit on there. Don't push really hard. It'll almost be sticky, like the steel wool will stick a little bit. It'll drag. But then as you wipe it a little bit, you'll notice, oh, it's nice and smooth now. What's going on? Like you're exfoliating the skin, the layer off the table. Then take a clean cotton rag and wipe that with the grain. Walk away.
Okay.
It'll look amazing. Then start using a different cleaner. There's a brand that's been around forever called Guardsman. And they make a deep cleaning and easy Fido. Then they make a deep cleaning with a lemon oil, which a lot of the cleaners with wood have a lot of silicone in it. And that's not good for the wood.
Okay. All right. I'll give it a try. Let's see if it works. I'm tired of using a tablecloth.
Yeah. Right. Try this and do me a favor. If you do it this week, call me next week and let me know what happened.
Okay, I will.
I appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU is our phone number. Guess what? It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. Who am I I'm going to talk to Barb, right, in Niles. Let's get to Barb here. Hey, Barb, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. My townhome was built in about 1960.
Okay.
And I had a handyman in to replace the vent in the bathroom. He went into the attic and said it wasn't vented through the roof. None of mine were vented through the roof.
Yeah, we didn't do that in the 60s. No, I'm kidding. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, so I assume I've had my roof done a couple times over the years, and I assume there's venting along the edges of the roof.
Okay.
Like a
soffit vent.
Yes, something like that. Do I have to have somebody vent those fans through the roof?
Yes. So it's a common thing that I've seen forever, and if I ever catch the people that did it, I would slap them across the face, because what they did is they just took the vents in a lot of these constructions. This happened a lot during the 80s where they were building like crazy, and they just popped these exhaust fans in, didn't vent them anywhere, or if they did anything, they took the hose up to a roof vent right next to it and said, oh, well, it'll just go out there. But the barometric pressure that, you know, we hear the weather forecasters talk about all the time, that fan doesn't have enough force to blow it out because it's not vented properly. And so what can happen where we live, right, is in the wintertime, you take a shower, you create all this humidity, it goes up into that attic space, and it kind of rolls around up there and can create a lot of mildew and mold issues. That's why they have to be vented outside. So you have a couple of options. There are these things called roof vents that are specifically designed for exhaust fans, where there's a little tube that then the pipe connects to so it can go out. Or there are soffit fan connections that can be put on the overhang, and the pipe can go that way, and then it blows down through the soffit. Either way, you're going to need either a roofing and you're going to need a roofing siding contractor to do something like that. Where do you live, Barb? Niles?
I'm in Niles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So somebody like a Lindholm Roofing, they do all kinds of small repairs and things like that that you can contact them about. Rogers Roofing is another company that could do that, and they may do they'll probably do the venting connection for you. I don't know that they'll connect the pipe. It's a little, it's like one step. You may need like an HVAC contractor to do that, or if you have a handyman service to come out and do something like that. A lot of times they won't do that part of it, which is kind of a bummer because they're already there. But, they're roofers and siding people. They don't typically work inside the home.
Ah, okay. So is it a job that's too big for a handyman to do?
It's not a job that's too big for a handy service to do if we were talking about probably the soffit vents. I don't know that I would have the average handyman do the roofing repair, cutting a hole in the roof and doing all that. So there in Niles, I know that you can do this. So Ace now offers a handyman service. And if you... Mm-hmm. And they work in certain areas. They don't work everywhere in the Chicagoland area. They're rolling this thing out nationally. And if you go to acehardware.com, I believe there's a link on their website that then you could plug in your zip code to see if they work. I think they do work in Niles, so that would be a good place to check.
Okay, but Lindholm should be able to take care of that.
Correct. Then you have, and they would be the ones that could either do the roofing or the soffit, and it would be done right.
Okay, can I ask one quick question?
Sure.
Yesterday with the rain, and I've had PermaSeal seal up my basement. I've got a full basement.
Right.
But sometimes when the rain is coming a certain direction, it'll come in. I'll see in my laundry room, the full basement, which is underneath the kitchen, and there's an outside step for the door. So I'll get some water seepage coming into the basement where that outside concrete step is. Next to the stair was a patch of dirt and stones where we used to have a gas grill.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if maybe some water is coming through that dirt area. I don't, they said they couldn't fix this area, that the water was coming through.
The gas. So let me ask you this. The gas, where you had the gas grill.
Yeah.
Did the gas line come from the ground?
Yes. It was back in the days where Sears had those great gas grills.
That remember those line. Gas grills? Oh, my God, those were great. What happened to perfect. Poor Sears? Doesn't that just make you bum you out?
It does. And it was right next to the step. And I was just trying to figure out yesterday where the water is coming through.
You know what I bet it is?
Because I've got a
now, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Wait. So on the inside of the basement... Where, mm-hmm. when I'm inside that door, is that basement finished or unfinished?
It's finished. Well, the laundry room's not finished.
But right where that gas grill is, if I looked with my X-ray vision like Superman, is that finished or unfinished?
Unfinished.
And is that gas line come from that foundation wall?
Yes.
Is it still there?
Yes.
And is it leaking around there? Because that could be the channel.
No, it just looks like it could be a way through maybe, mm-hmm. but it just looks like it comes in from under the step, the concrete step,
mm-hmm.
which when we bought it has all that.
And there's no there's no drain outside of the step.
I have window wells to the side of them, and those were clear.
Hmm.
Yeah. Huh.
But it's only when the rain comes in a certain direction.
Correct.
And that area where the gas grill is, I'm sorry to ask you so many questions, but that area where the gas grill is, does it pool when the water comes that way?
No.
Nothing like that?
No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. You may need some exterior work to redirect some of the water and maybe some work on the outside. Now, I know the PermaSeal doesn't work on the outside. A friend of mine, do you have a pen or a pencil?
Yes.
Tommy Polina.
Because the concrete is pitched downwards, not towards the house.
Right. So Tommy Polina Landscaping, they specialize.
P-O-L-L-I-N-A.
847-698-6868.
Okay.
They do exterior drainage, and they may be able to help you, and it would be worth a conversation with them to see if they can come out and take a look at it and maybe able to solve that problem for you. Appreciate the phone call. Bumping up against time. When we come back after news, we're going to learn about probably the most stylish window air conditioner you've never seen before. But sometimes you may have a spot in the house that is just too warm, and the simplest thing to do is to put a window air conditioner in there, and they work pretty well. But what if there was a window air conditioner that also looked really cool? Well, I came across this company called Capsule that created just that. Joining me on the phone line is Kurt Swanson, the CEO and co-founder of Capsule. Kurt, good morning, and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your company and what's the backstory? What is it that you guys are making?
Well, actually, I'm a mechanical engineer by trade, and I got my start in the aerospace business. I worked at the Boeing Company for many years, helped build some amazing aircraft, but I left about 10 years ago now to make my own way developing consumer products. And I built a small but amazing team. We helped other companies launch their products, and we were very successful for them. And I decided we wanted to launch our own product. And I really, as nerdy as it sounds, I've loved thermodynamics and heat transfer since my college days. And I decided that fixing window air conditioning is probably the best use of our skill set.
Now, you don't use that like as a pickup line, do you? When you go to the bars, like I make really cool window air conditioners. I mean, I guess, does it work? Because if it works, I'm going to use it.
Blue, my wife loves me for who I am.
Okay, so I want to describe this because obviously we are on the radio, and I think most people will envision what a window air conditioning looks like. You open up the window, and you pop this giant box in there, and it's typically a little difficult to get set just right. Yours is a very unique design, and it even offers a little bit of added security.
Well, you know, we started out when we designed the product, we wanted to fix all the things that people didn't like about window air conditioning, because as you mentioned, they're important for spot cooling in different parts of the home that aren't addressed by your whole house, HVAC system, or even if you don't have an HVAC system at all. And so I wanted to make a product that was, very easy and intuitive to install for one person, whether, man or woman, anyone that can pick up a small child, is able to install Capsule. And that was really a lot of effort and work. So, we created this window frame adapter that goes into the window first. You secure that. You do all the things you need to do with the window frame adapter, which is lightweight. Weighs a couple pounds, you fix that. And then when you're all done, you just lift the capsule up for a moment by the two structural handles, front and back, and you lift it in, slide it in place, and you lock it. So, you lift it up for just a moment. And that was important to me because I wanted people to be able to install it properly. People live in city homes. There's people walking, around on the street underneath their houses. You've got to make sure it's secure. We want to give our customers the ability to do that by themselves without having to worry about dropping it out. We heard so many horror stories. Oh, my mother dropped the window air conditioner out. She was installing it. We wanted to get rid of that. That was safety issue number one that we wanted to address.
Most window air conditioners, if you were to install them, in a double hung window, you're probably opening that window
probably two thirds of the travel of the opening, if not more. That's not the case. Yeah. In your capsule design, when it's installed, it's this very thin profile where the window is more like a quarter of the way or maybe a third of the way open, and that's it.
That's right. Capsule is the slimmest air conditioner on the market. It's just 7 inches tall. And so you put that window frame adapter in. It can accommodate windows that don't open very far as well. And so, yeah, that's a major value proposition that we bring with this product.
So
it wasn't easy to do either.
The design is totally cool. It's what completely drew me to it when I saw it. But what about the efficiency and the performance? Are people going to get the same kind of performance out of your unit as they would out of traditional window air conditioners?
Yeah, so that, efficiency and performance was really important to us. This product, it sips power. On the hottest day, you're going to be drawing less than 4 amps on a 115-volt circuit. So just when it's running on the hottest days, it's not drawing much power. But beyond that, there's a number of technology improvements being made. The biggest one is having an app where you can set a schedule or control it remotely. So if you're out for, you go away for the weekend, your air conditioner is not cooling an empty room. So that's a big savings of power. But in addition to that, we have, really good control over the fans and motors in this product. There's actually two fans in the product, one for the evaporator and one for the condenser. And what that means is we can actually reduce the fan power as it gets closer to your set point and the demand on the product decreases. So all these things together save you a lot of energy.
I love that. I love that, we're getting so much smarter with a lot of these appliances, and what we're using to heat and cool our homes and be more mindful of the amount of energy that they use. And those types of throttle mechanisms that can draw stuff back a little bit, over the life of the usage of this thing can just save people serious money.
Yeah, absolutely. And, when you have your traditional units, a lot of people just leave them run all day because they want to come home to a cold house, which is a reasonable expectation. But at the end of the day, you're running this for 8-10 hours. You don't need to do that with Capsule. You can set it to turn on an hour before you get home, and that's plenty of time for the home to be comfortable.
Now, Kurt, do you make the unit in different BTUs, or is there just one size currently?
At this time, we just have the one size is a 5K BTUs, and that accommodates rooms of 160 square feet or more. It really depends on a number of factors, but that's roughly what we advise. Although I use it in an open space of about 250 square feet in my South Philly row home, and it works just fine in that condition. So it depends on a number of factors, but it's just a 5K.
Price point, is it comparably priced to competitors percentage wise? Are we paying a little bit more for this because it looks so cool?
Well, we're not the most expensive, but we are priced at the higher end with the number of features and the various technologies added in. We end up more at the premium side of the market.
Yeah, it's really cool looking, and I love the ability to control it via the app, and the things that you're saying about the energy efficiency I think are so important. All right, if people want to learn more about Capsule and where they can purchase it, where do they go?
Yeah, they can go to our website. It's the only place we sell the product, at capsuleair.com. That's KAPSULAIR.com.
Capsuleair.com. It is quite possibly the coolest window air conditioner I have ever seen to date. Kurt, congratulations. Good job. I hope it sells like crazy. And thanks for getting up this morning.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We will take a quick break and be back right after this.
Chicago's very own WGN.
Okay, I'm going to read the commercial about Elide Fireballs, but I had this thing I was thinking about. I'm always thinking, Lindsay. I'm always thinking about different things, and this is a weird connection. And I don't know if the Elide people are going to like this or not. But this terrible war that's going on in Ukraine. There was some report where they're using drones and the Ukrainians are using the drones to attack the Russians. Like that they're dropping little bombs
on top of the Russian soldiers. Now, that's terrible. The whole thing is terrible. But then that had me thinking that why can't we take these Elide fireballs if there's a like a forest fire and the drone could hold on to the Elide ball and then somebody with a remote control in the safety of, you know, far away from the fire could fly the drone over it and drop the Elide fireball on the fire. And the minute the fire hits it, the thing explodes and kills the fire. And you could just have like a whole, you know, like, remember in the movie Elf, when Elf is getting to know the kid, you know, when he goes to meet his dad and then the kid wants nothing to do with him and they're walking through Central Park and they get in a snowball fight. And then Elf packs all the snowballs and then he yes. rapid fires the snowballs at everybody. Right? Wow. You with me on that?
Yep.
I know. Stay with me. So now you have a whole bunch of those Elide fireballs stacked up and you got a bunch of kids. I don't know if they're kids and you got a bunch of drones and you keep feeding these drones with these Elide fireballs. Go there, drop the ball, come back. Go there, drop the ball, come back. Take out the forest fire.
Or they just drop one at a time. Like they hundreds of them and then they just, you know.
Yeah, right. I think you need, I don't know how much a drone can carry. I don't know how,
you're really going off on a limb here, so I'm just going to go with you.
Right, but I think this is a really cool idea, and I think like a forest service or a fire service should look into this, because this has potential.
Water, when we run it in the upstairs bathroom, the house is 30 years old, 1985, and then we put a second story on the house in 1997.
Okay.
And we have a softener, we live on a well. So the softener, I mean, I guess it works, but the smell, it's not an egg smell. It just smells terrible.
Everywhere or just in one bathroom?
Just in the upstairs bathroom.
Out of the vanity or out of the tub?
Vanity.
I bet it's not the water. I bet it's your drain.
Oh.
Ancient Chinese, okay. ancient Chinese secret. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the pop-up off of your vanity drain. Do you know how to do that?
Okay. No, but someone will figure out.
Okay. Well, there's a little lever underneath there that you need to unscrew, and it makes the pop-up go up and down, and then you got to screw that lever back on, otherwise water's going to leak out of there.
Okay.
I want any chance you have a bottle brush around your home?
Yeah.
Perfect. I want you to take the bottle brush and stick it down the drain and then take some Pine Sol and pour that over the top of that brush. And then I want you to scrub the top of that drain, what's called the tailpiece on the bottom of the tub, the bottom of the sink, all the way down to the trap. Gunk around the drain from washing your face, brushing your teeth, you know, whatever, is a buildup there. And that's where the smell can come when you run water, which is why you think it's the smell of the water. It's actually the smell of the drain.
Okay.
Can
I do that at all the drains?
Well, I mean, it's a good idea to do as a general... As a general, cleaning thing, right? But if you're experiencing that smell that you just can't solve, and this works, say nice things about me.
Of course, we always say nice things about you. That's why I've been on hold for an hour.
Thank you. I love you. That's wonderful. But I bet that will solve the problem. And it's very common in a vanity. Just because, you know, you wash your face, if you wear makeup or whatever, it builds up over time. And
I use those things where you scooch it down and you pull the hair out.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is worse.
Yeah. Give it a try and I bet it'll work.
Thank you so much.
Love you. Thanks for calling. 857-5574-LOU is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. I think I have not seen any of it, but I've heard a lot about the interviews. I myself had a chance to participate in the interview stuff, so I'm really looking for. Hopefully, I don't end up on the cutting room floor. I don't know. Andy, did they talk to you?
They have
Schwani,
not.
Anybody?
No. Really? No. You had Andy and I back in our DJ mode there with ABBA there.
Yeah.
Right.
We were ready to play
who doesn't love
there
a little again. ABBA? Mm-hmm. You know, this morning I told you the story about the over Easter, the little kayaking expedition.
Yes.
You know, we can all appreciate that, you know, in the radio business, television, but it's all about gaining audience, right? You want to gain audience members because that's good for everybody.
Gain the audience, build an audience, sure.
Build an audience, all that kind of stuff. Well, the lady that I talked about that we had the kayaking expedition, Nancy, is calling in from Arizona. She's calling in from Arizona. Nancy, how are you?
Lou, I'm a better woman because of your help last week.
Wow. I did tell the story this morning about our little Easter escapade. And how's your husband, Phil?
You know what? He's well. We're both doing well. We endured the kayaking experience, and we didn't tip over again thanks to your wit and wisdom and just putting us in a better place in so many ways.
And were you able to enjoy the beauty of the lovely river escapade that was there?
We did. We did. We went on that kayaking adventure to see if we would be up for buying and purchasing our own kayak. The answer to that is no. But we did have a wonderful experience.
Well, you know, it's always good, Nancy, to try before you buy, and that way you didn't waste any money on your kayaks if this is not for you.
There you go.
Right, right. Maybe what would, you know, be more suitable is, I don't know, you know, a really good, you know, restaurant. I don't know. Something.
But it's a Chicago, and that's always a good tip.
Right, right, right. Well, I'm glad. It was very nice to meet both of you. I'm glad you're both okay. And your son was helpful to you when you connected with him?
We connected with him. You have an incredible memory. I have to tell you, it's been fun listening to your show. It's nice to know that my hero is also Chicago's hero.
Oh, that's...
So thank you so much. I will always remember you. Yeah. You changed my life in many ways, and saved my life that particular Saturday in April.
Well, you're very kind. I appreciate you calling this morning, and good luck to you and your husband.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
You too. That's great. That she makes it sound a little more dramatic than it was, but that was very nice.
I'm going to cry. I love it.
That was very sweet.
That was so sweet.
You forgot to ask her about the shoe, if they found the shoe.
Oh, Andy, darn it. I fordid about that.
Yeah.
Right,
did she get her phone back?
Yeah, does the phone
and the phone,
from
yes.
The, being in the bag?
Yeah, no, she had it. I mean, that was the whole thing, right? That Phil had both paddles. And he had the dry bag with the phone.
Oh, God. Okay.
But missing a shoe.
I lost my phone in the dry bag, the one you just bought. Oh, I felt badly about that. It was like my father mode because I was with my kids, right? That's very nice. Nancy and Phil, I'm glad you're okay. That's great. But I do like the fact that they were thinking about buying kayaks, and now they're like, no, maybe not so much.
So good.
Right? Look at see, you know what it is? I'm saving people money. That's what I that is a Lupon that will pay you back in spades. 857-5574 Lou. Oh my gosh, that's very sweet. Thank you for listening. I like that. She's up early, Arizona. It's very early there. Let's go back to the phone lines. This is James calling in from Fox Lake. Hey James, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. So I've been looking to get a drill press, and I've always thought that the power ratings were more or less the voltage times the amperage times some efficiency factor. When I look at these...
Oh, my gosh. What are we doing, an engineering thing? I love a drill press, but you're probably over my pay grade on the voltage and the power, but keep going.
No, it's just a simple question, really. I look at I see drill presses that are rated at a quarter horse and 2.9 amp, but then I see some that are like 3.4 amp and 5.9 amp. They're still a quarter horse. I would think they'd be higher horsepower. Now, my question is, I guess, is a quarter horse a quarter horse a quarter horse, or does the 5.9 amp quarter horse provide more amp than a 2.9 amp quarter horse, or the 5.9 amp just more inefficient or something?
So the amperage that feeds the horsepower...
Wouldn't it have higher amperage, have a higher horsepower?
So I'm going to take you back to a story that happened to me years ago.
we were filming a segment for House Smarts TV, and there, and you can search this on our YouTube channel. There is a guy in San Diego that built a rotating house. Okay? You know how you know, there's restaurants you can go to and they rotate?
Yeah.
But he built a house that most of the rotating, like, restaurants and that kind of stuff, they go one way and then they go, you know, they don't go 360 degrees. They go, like, 300 degrees and then they turn around and go the other way. Okay? He built a house. He built a house that did complete 360, and like it could go like a wagon wheel or like a merry-go-round. Which, by the way, what we learned is the hardest thing in that is the bathrooms. But that's a whole nother thing. He's not an engineer, but he's like one of these guys that just has the mind to figure it out. And he did the calculations based on the weight and everything like that, and it came out that he needed a half horsepower motor, which he didn't believe, and right, which he didn't believe, and so he bought a one horsepower motor, and it spun the house too quickly, and so then he went back to his calculations. So no, I did a little Googling here. So it's all about with the amperage. It's all about the efficiency, right? That's the key in all of this. So
that's what I was wondering.
Right. So if you what horsepower were you looking at? 1.5.
Well, it's quarter horse.
Oh, quarter horse. Okay, so a quarter horse using, and I'm just Googling this, right, an 8-amp motor is 90% efficient. So the amperage, there's a relationship between the amperage, the efficiency, and the power. So you're right, the horsepower is the power of it, right? But the amperage has to do with the efficiency. Now, if you were a manufacturing company where these drill presses were working all the time, that would be super important to you about the efficiency, right?
Right.
But you're probably going to be, I don't know what you're going to be doing with your drill press, but
just occasional or routine, maybe some metal drilling, mostly wood drilling.
Right. And then, within the drill, most of them run off of a motor with a belt. Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah.
And when you use a drill press, obviously the tension of the belt and everything's important, but if you put too much of a drag on it, that's the whole reason they put the belt on there, so it stops spinning. And, you'll bind the thing up. But what manufacturers are you looking at?
I was looking at Rikon, R-I-K-O-N.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then Delta, Delta or Craftsman.
Yeah, so Delta has been in that business for a very long time. And the Craftsman, I'm not sure who makes the Craftsman drill press. But, if it's something that you're going to do, projects and things like that, look for... half horsepower, I think, is plenty. I think I have an old, it's an actually Ace brand that's also made by somebody else, and it's belt driven, and I think that one's a half horse, and I use it occasionally, but it is a really neat tool to use. But I don't know the other manufacturer you talked about, but that Delta, they make really good shop tools. And, you for what you're going to use it, you'll have it for the rest of your life.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, bud. I appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU is our phone number. Hey, are we going to do our Just Text Me segment this morning? Oh, yeah. You want to just text me. You can do that also at 857-557-4LOU. We'll do it after 9:30 this morning. But right now, we need to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling about my deck, which is about 35 years old. So every, 5-6 years, we have it power washed and stained. And I know you've talked lately about wet and forget. Is that something that could replace power washing, or is the deck too old and needs to do that?
Well, tell me about the surface of the, when you look at it, is it got algae and buildup of stuff?
No, nothing like that. It's just faded and gray and definitely just needs refreshing and staining.
Okay. So the wet and forget is a great cleaner, general cleaner. If you're going to be refinishing the deck, I think that you do have to do a little bit of scrubbing and then a little sanding. Now,
here's the thing with the wet and forget that I want everybody to, you know, understand is that it works over time. So it isn't like this immediate thing. With a pressure washer, you know, you're like, oh, I cleaned it and look, it's clean and let's go to lunch. And okay. With wet and forget, you apply it, you literally, you wet it and you forget it. That's it. But it takes about 30 days to work with the wind and the rain to kind of wash things away. What happens is the cleaner itself, the minute you apply it, it breaks down all the organic material and it kills it. Then the wind and the rain hits it, the wind hits it, blows it, kind of like that's what is the rinsing process, right? But that takes a little bit of time. So if you wanted to, like, for instance, today, apply wet and forget, and then a month from now you want to restain your deck, which the timing could actually work, then it would work. But the key with this, Judy, is you have to sand it. Do you ever do that?
No, we've just had it power washed.
Right. You will get longer performance time out of your refinishing. Do you do it or do you have someone do it?
We have it done.
Okay. So, I mean, it will last longer if you do some sanding. Because
okay, like a power sander, just go over it?
Yeah, because the whole idea, especially with an older deck, the wood almost becomes petrified, right? It gets so hard that when you apply the stain, it doesn't allow it to come in. And if you just do a little light sanding and it opens up the fibers of the wood, the stain can get inside.
Okay,
and then when
the
stain gets inside and the you know, the vehicle is the oil, right, that goes in there, but then the resin, the color and everything that goes in there can hang on to the fibers of the wood, and then it lasts longer.
Okay.
Make sense?
Luke, can I ask you the second part of that question?
Sure.
You've talked also about Penofin quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been on the website, and they've got all these options of Renewal, Verde, Ultra Premium, Red Label, Premium Blue Label. What's the one for the deck that we should be using?
Their bread and butter in their unit is the Blue Label. Okay?
Blue Label. Okay.
They make a Red Label that has a little bit more UV. Is your deck in the sun all the time?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if it's in the sun all the time, I think that the Red Label is probably $5 or $6 more a gallon. That's worth it. So either the blue or the red, and you're good to go.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks so much, Lou. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate that as well. All right. One more quick plug for my friends at Misericordia. You know, I've got my virtual candy jar, and I've set a goal of trying to reach $10,000 before the end of the month. This is the thing. Misericordia is one of the most amazing places that I've ever known that helps adult and children with developmental and intellectual disabilities. I've been part of this. You know, I love this place. My family loves this place. We volunteer. We do whatever we can. And it has been hard during the pandemic on all charities, every place that does this. Their Candy Days is virtual once again. It's one of their most important fundraisers of the year. And I'm trying to do this virtual candy jar at WGNradio.com/candy. Townstone Financial is going to make a $2,500 match donation. Thank you very much, Townstone. If you would like to support it, I love you for doing that. Anything that you could do would be great. It's super simple. WGNradio.com/candy. It'll connect you to my giving page, and whatever you can give, you know, $5,000, $10,000. I mean, I'm just throwing that number out there, but you never know. Somebody might do it. But we're trying to make that goal. Thank you so much to those who have already donated. You're so kind, and I love you. And for those of you that have not donated yet, if you can help support this, it's not for me, it's for Misericordia. I'm just the conduit, you know, keeping that in the whole home improvement thing for the WGN.com/candy virtual giving page. All right, let's head into the WGN radio newsroom for this report of news. And Lindsay's going to read some text messages. Good morning again.
Good morning. Yes, I am. I have a lot here for you today. Well,
all right,
we'll do three, but the first one is Lou, you often talk about the bottle brush and Lysol trick for bathroom sink drains, but where do you find a bottle brush for a sink, a kitchen sink, narrow enough to fit in those smaller openings without having to remove the baskets?
What was the name of the company with the remember the sponge? We just talked about it. The sponge that I love.
No,
it's not Brush America. It has like a name. It was like Ratata or something. It's like two syllables, three syllables. Brush America. That's five. It's
Brush Tech.
Two syllables, like I said. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Oh, see, nobody can see the look on your face that you give me when I say, no, that's not it. And you give me the meanest look that, I mean, this is radio, but I'm telling you, everybody thinks she's so nice. She's not. Okay, Brush Tech. They sent us, and that's the second time you've stuck your tongue out at me today. Anyway, which, by the way, people don't do that anymore. That always used to be a thing.
What?
Like when you were mad at somebody, you go, and you stick your tongue out at them, right? We got to do that more. Anyway, what are we talking about?
We've grown up.
Anyway, they have a very thin brush that will fit in between the crisscross of the kitchen sink. However, I will tell you, that the Rubbermaid tube brush that it's called is yellow. It has a black handle and it has yellow tines that are kind of conical in shape. That fits into the crisscross of a sink drain and it will work. So, all right. Question number two.
Number two. Lindsay. Lou. Sorry. Will you please ask Lou how to get coffee stains out of a white carpet and how to cover an oil splatter on a painted wall? We painted over the stain and the oil bled through.
Okay. So the coffee stain, you know, there's a bunch of different things, but don't put too much on there because you'll embed the stain. One of the best stain lifters is a product called Tech, T-E-C-H, made in Madison, Wisconsin. The best way to do this is to spray it onto a cotton rag and get the rag wet and then gently blot, don't rub, the rug to pull the stain up and then fold the rag as you see the brown color of the coffee stain come up. Fold the rag again, put a little bit more on there and keep blotting it until you remove all of the stain. Again, don't scrub, blot, and that'll come up. And then the other one with the oil stain, I just did a project where I had to cover up some soot and used Zinsser makes a waterborne primer that is designed for like smoke damage. So it really, the thing with the smoke, it has an oily residue, and petroleum-based, or it's actually alcohol-based. It's really stinky and smelly. And it'll stink up the whole house. It'll cover everything. You can buy it in a quart. If it's just a small area, it won't drive you crazy. But the waterborne by Zinsser that's designed for smoke, I believe it's called Restore or Zinsser Restoration as a primer, will do the good job. How about one more?
All right. How about getting rid of voles in the yard and getting rid of deer and rabbits underneath the new shed? Same person.
Deer and rabbits under the shed. There's a deer under the shed? How big is the shed?
How to get rid of them.
Okay. Voles are tough. And they're probably feasting on the bugs in your lawn. And here's two options for you and you decide what you want to do. There's something called Sweeney's Poison Peanuts, which is very effective, but it's exactly what you think it is. And you have to be careful, obviously, if you have pets, you know, where you put these peanuts, but you put those, it comes in another cone and you poke a hole where you see the tracks in the yard where the voles are and you put the peanuts in there and they eat the peanuts and then they don't eat the peanuts anymore. And the other thing is the Bonide Sonic Spike is actually specifically designed for moles and voles. Each one works
in about a 30-foot radius. So you put either the solar one or the one that you put C batteries in, and you put it down in the ground, and it makes the sound of a chattering vole or mole in distress, and it does work. It takes about a week, and they'll go somewhere else. That's a good one. That's our Just Text Me segment, sponsored by no one. Maybe next week. 857-557-4LU is our phone number. 857-557-4LU. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Videos and updating them that I think you'll find pretty helpful. And we just hit a nice milestone. We've got about 20,000 subscribers nationwide, which is great. Thank you to those that subscribe. And, you know, we're just trying to add more information and different stuff all the time. And that's where Lindsay posts all of the Noodaloo 2s as well. So go to youtube.com and find the House Smarts page, and you'll be able to download and watch those videos whenever you want. 857-557-4LU is the number. Let's talk to David, who's in Valparaiso. David, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, nice to talk with you, Lou. I like your show. Hey, listen, I got a quickie for you. My gutters, I got like an inset for my front door, so it's like a porch there, you know. It sits back about 6 feet, and there's gutters around there. And they seem to leak. I took that Flex Seal and sprayed the whole bottom of the gutters around the joints and everything else, figuring that was it. But I still seem to get water spots on the porch, especially one area where the downspout is.
Right.
And I can't seem to find where the source of it, you know. Could you give me some hints on where the source might be on that?
So you said there's an inset, so your gutters go around the house, and then so you have two outside corners, and then gutter, and then inside corners, and then it comes across.
Right, it's like a U. Yes,
correct.
Yes, yes.
Correct.
I have a downspout there, and that goes down, takes a right, comes back out. Yeah, it's just like a little U there.
Right.
And it's independent of the other gutters because of the roof lines.
Correct.
So, yes, that's what I have right there.
So
it seems to leak around where the it seems to leak right around there especially around where the downspout is. And the thing of it is, it doesn't bother me in the summertime, but what bothers me is when the wintertime, because then it gets, if it melts, then it drips out in the ice there, and it makes it dangerous. Yeah.
So that product, like a Flex Seal, and as you know, Rust-Oleum has a product that as well. Fixing it on the outside where you're spraying it, you know, like on the outside, doesn't really work because the water gets to the
back. I sprayed it on the inside.
Oh, you did?
I coated the whole inside.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole inside. Especially, I figured where the joints were at, you know, it's about 20 years old. I figured where the joints were at.
Right.
It's probably worked a little loose, maybe a little rust. I figured, and I got in up there with a spray can and sprayed the whole inside, especially around the joints, and it still doesn't seem to do any good.
So everywhere that you have, everywhere that you have a seam on the inside, from the inside out, you need to take a putty knife and a small propane torch, and you need to heat up and scrape away everything you just sprayed on there. I'm not anti-Flex Seal, but it is not the best choice for fixing what you want. There is a specific product called Gutter Seal, which is what professional gutter installers use. It comes in a caulk tube, and it is a very, thin. It's not thin. Thin's the wrong word. It's a flowing type of caulking. It's designed to fill the gaps, but it has a heavier body than something that you would use, you know, like a regular caulking. It flows better than caulking. So you're going to use this torch on everywhere you see a seam where this is happening. You're going to take a little propane torch and a putty knife, and you're going to scrape everything out of there. And then take a wire brush and get that as clean as possible, every joint. And then you're going to take this gutter seal with a caulk tube, and you're going to fill it in there. And as you squirt it, you'll see that this kind of silvery material will work itself into the joint, and you kind of fill every single one of those individually, and that will help you solve the leak.
Okay. You don't think the water might be running between the gutter and the fascia board, do you?
Well, I mean, it could be, but if that's the issue, then pay special attention to how the gutter is attached to the fascia, right? The vertical part of your gutter, excuse me, the fascia. But then there should be another gutter flashing that comes over the top, leading into your gutter.
Okay.
Right. So when you're looking there when the water comes down off of the roof, there should be a little bit of gutter flashing going across there, a little piece, maybe inch and a half long, 2 inches with a little kick on the end of it, that the water comes down and then goes into the gutter. If that's missing anywhere, right, or if it's dented, or if there's a seam in that where maybe they butted up two pieces together instead of overlapping, that could be mm-hmm. cause of water coming in as well.
Okay. All right. Listen, I'll check that out. It's actually the water's only leaking in one spot. As I see it right now, it's leaking right around where the downspout is.
Mm-hmm,
but I'll check out all of them and do what you said. Hey, listen, thanks for the advice. I really appreciate it. You take care now.
You too.
I won't take any more of your time.
No. It's great. I appreciate you calling this morning. Thank you so much. 857-557-4LOU. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. 857-557-4LOU. This is Pam in Lockport. Hey, Pam, you're on House Smarts Radio.
I don't know. It's great to talk to you. Quick question. I have house guests coming in about a month. The guest bath that they're going to be using has a shower-tub combination. No grabber bars. I think they might need grabber bars or something to make that area safer.
Mm-hmm.
We noticed online that they have things that grabber bars with suction cups. Are those safe?
I don't love them. It's not that they don't work, but boy, if someone were to fall and really need to grab on, I would rather have something that's more secure. Have you heard me talk about Access?
No.
AllAboutAccess.com. They are a full service contractor that will do anything from a simple grab bar all the way to a whole ADA compliant bathroom thing. I would call them, have them come and do it, and maybe they can get there in a month.
Okay.
AllAboutAccess.com is the website.
Got it.
Thank you so much for calling. You too. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Lindsay, thanks for producing. Dave Schwann for doing news. Andy Mazur on sports. Bob Ferguson for pushing all the buttons. And mostly you, the listener, thank you so much.